Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we're back. It's another Monday. I appreciate you agreeing to call on Audible this weekend instead of recording on Sunday. We're recording on Saturday.
Yeah, you're really fucking my weekend up because it's also a three-day weekend.
So I know.
It's like I woke up this morning. It's like, oh, fuck it. We're recording. It's Sunday. Oh, wait. No, hold on. It's Saturday. And I have another day off. Yes, it is Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
Even though this episode's probably coming out in November.
Sure. Yeah. Sorry, man. I got a kayaking trip up in the mountains tomorrow. So I had to move the day. So I appreciate the flexibility.
God, going outside is gross.
Well, you know, I almost use the excuse of I want to get one more in before summer's done. But
In Georgia. Summer's done at the end of October.
Yeah, well, we have plenty of more summer. Yeah. North Georgia, the water starts getting real cold, though, mid-September. So, yeah, get it in while the summer's here.
To me, it just sounds like you're a little bitch, but
I will be in a sit-on-top kayak going down a very gentle river. So it is not much whitewater rafting or whitewater kayaking or anything like that.
When I was younger, we used to go tubing up in like Helen,
area.
So,
hey, for all you not Georgia folks, if you ever get a chance, beautiful tubing up there in Helen. You can go see the little German village they have. It's weird, but it's there.
Yeah, it's
it's basically a tourist trap, but with cool looking buildings.
Yeah. I don't know why it's there. Like, anyways, we're not here to talk about weird tourist traps on Earth or Arrakis. Even we're tripping balls in a tent today.
We are here. We're back with minute 100 through 101, just to recap a little bit, we are joining Paul and Jessica back in the tent. Paul is kind of mid drug trip, I guess, at this point. And
Paul was coughing like a bitch.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. The last minute left off with a kind of mid vision, when we were looking at the ship over what we think is Caladan.
Yeah. We went from Power Ranger kickflips and the worst CGI in the movie.
Yep.
To, Fremen in like full battle armor back on Caladan, ship floating over with the like cargo bay door in the back open, and like they're silhouetted figures, and you could tell that like one of them was Paul just because he had like his long wispy, you know, dark black hair.
It was a safe assumption to make at that minute.
Sure.
And we get confirmation just a little bit later.
We start this minute with a view of, you know, thunderheads in the sky just rumbling with thunder, and we see some flashes of lightning, and then we just hard cut back to Jessica inside the tent. You can see that she's kind of got like some tears and stuff flowing as well because she's watching her son lose his fucking mind.
I've never done drugs around my parents, and I can only imagine what this is like. Like for both of them, like individually, like what the hell is going on here? I would never want my mother to be around me if I'm going through a trip like this.
No. But Jessica is not sitting there not saying anything. To Paul, she says, "You're scared. I can see it. Please tell me, what do you fear?"
So two things on this.
Yes.
Great use of Bene Gesserit insight.
Yep.
Really, really flexing those muscles, Jessica. You know, no one could have possibly perceived that he is scared in this moment other than a fully trained Bene Gesserit.
They disabled the ship.
You see where he gets his pointing out the obvious from.
Yeah. No, I think it's, I mean, jokes aside, I do think like this is more of a mother console than Bene Gesserit being like, "Ooh, what are you doing?"
So when she says, "What do you fear?" I kind of had to go back and listen to that a couple of times. Cause there's background music that's going on.
Yep.
And I know that we walk to read our movies. So the subtitles confirm, "What do you fear?"
Yep.
but I would put money on it. If subtitles weren't there, she said, "What do you feel?" instead of "fear."
Hard to disagree.
I went back and listened to it. I had my big headphones on and everything. It sounded like "feel" the first couple times I listened to it. I eventually heard "fear."
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was just my brain tricking my ears into hearing that. But yeah, it just for the first couple times I heard "feel," and that made more sense to me than "what do you fear?" So, I mean, that was kind of corroborating evidence for "feel" versus "fear" in this instance. I fully understand and I fully agree that it is "fear." So I'm not trying to dispute that. It just sounded like "feel" at first.
Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying. Hard to disagree, though. Don't forget, fear is also the mind killer.
Okay. Yeah.
Paul's losing his fucking mind right now.
Yeah. That's true. And maybe it does have some tie-ins to like the litany.
I don't think it does. I think,
well, I think mean, not litany. Like, you know, if she's, you know, Jessica obviously has years and years of Bene Gesserit training. This could possibly be, you know, a question that they ask themselves when they're going through stuff that has roots in that Bene Gesserit training. And that's, we're getting real far into it, but that's what we're here to do.
Sure. I mean, look, what else are you going to do when you talk about a minute of a movie for, you know, 15 to 30 minutes, depending on how far down rabbit holes you want to go?
So after we hear "What Do You Fear?", we cut to a close up of, you know, back into Vision Land.
Well, we're not back in Vision Land yet. We cut to Paul just having one of his many 1,000-yard stares.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then the music, you know, in the chanting starts getting a little louder. And then we're back to the ship.
Yep.
But we're from the perspective of inside the cargo bay. We see, you know, a black shawl, you know, cover. But we also do see hundreds of Fremen on the shores of Caladan looking up at the ship.
Yep.
And we were right. Paul is in the ship. He's there with Chani. He's there with
I'm sorry, who?
Who's Chani.
It? And both of them together are referred as?
Paul and Chani.
Chawl. We agreed on this.
No.
You can't go back on
I
that.
Hate Chawl.
You agreed to it.
Fuck you.
Many episodes ago, you agreed to it. I had to go back and edit my notes to put in Chawl because I forgot about it. Chawl is standing on the ship.
Chawl are standing on the ship. If you're going to use Chawl, use it with proper grammar. Chawl is plural. We see Jameis. This is the...
I was going to ask about this.
Second time, I believe... Second or third time we see Jameis in the movie, because we have him in minute one.
Yeah.
But then I think, I don't know.
He's made some other appearances in quick flashback or flashes of visions and stuff.
But Jameis is definitely here, like
out of focus. So it was a smidge hard to tell it was him, but I agree. I think it was Jameis.
And then there's just some other random dude that's there.
I thought it was Lanville at first, like as he came around.
Way too fat to be Lanville.
I said it first. I didn't land on that. Like when the camera was panning around, and we saw that person, like clearly like a bald person. The only other like bald person that we've seen that is like close to Paul was Lanville, with any kind of like. The camera gives him importance, I guess.
Yeah.
So I thought it was definitely not him. I mean, as the face becomes clear, it's not Lanville, but just random other person.
There's also another random other person next to not Lanville, but you can only see them by like their shoulder in the frame.
Sure.
So
sure.
But yeah, Paul, eyes would be bad once again.
They are strong.
Super strong. Looking down on all the Fremen on Caladan. Chani is also, you know, right at his side looking down.
I got to say, they look good in black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most people do.
It looks, it suits them. These costumes are good.
Costume, wardrobe design, killing it, as always.
Yeah.
And then we cut to another pile of burning bodies.
More bodies.
Yep. Then we're back to, you know, Paul in his 1,000-yard stare.
Could you, in the pile of burning bodies, could you see any kind of insignia or anything still? So it's still just, undetermined
it's
who
they
are.
It's just a pile of melted bodies.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I tried to look as well, but it's such a brief scene there. And nothing clear pops out saying, you know, are these Fremen? Are these Atreides? Whatever.
Yeah.
Or other.
No, there was no like Atreides armor or Harkonnen armor or anything that was too obvious.
Yeah.
And then Paul says something for the
first
time.
Back to reality.
Somebody help me, please. And the amount of strain that he puts into the pleas is like, it's interesting because he's not doing well in this moment.
Are these tears running down his lips or is he drooling?
Kind of a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
So it's, I think it's like tears, drool, and sweat, and he's just like, he's losing it.
Yeah. Good thing they're in a steel tent.
Yes.
Because that is a lot of moisture being wasted.
Yep. Yep.
I don't have this in my book section, but in the books in this part, like when Jessica is crying over the death of Leta, when she's doing, you know, going through her grieving process, she makes a point to say, what a stupid waste of water, you know, referring to her own tears because they're out in the desert. So, yeah, Paul, be mindful. Be mindful of your water.
Not very demure. Dang it. By the time this comes out, that's not going to be a thing anymore,
So after, Paul's freaking out again. He repeats the line about holy war spreading like unquenchable fire.
Well.
And we cut back to Mexico, Chani.
Slow down a second. So somebody help me, please. Mm-hmm. Jessica responds only by whispering Paul.
Okay.
And then Paul says, it's coming. And then we get the hardest cut to a furious slow-mo Mexico Chani envision.
I missed that entire exchange.
Yeah.
Because I didn't put that in my notes at all.
That's a good thing I did.
Okay.
Bad. So Paul's only response to Jessica, you know, whispering his name to try and snap him back to reality, I think, is just, it's coming. We see like the super pissed off Chani. Paul says, I see a holy war spreading across the universe like an unquenchable fire. Which is the repeat of that line. A warrior religion that waves the Atreides banner in my father's name. We get another whisper of Paul from Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
Then at this point, Paul starts like yelling. Fanatical legions worshiping at the shrine of my father's skull. A war in my name. Everyone is shouting my name. And then we get another whisper of Paul, but it's Chani through a vision whispering to Paul.
Yeah. Yep.
Which I think is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
And then snap back. Jessica starts to physically approach Paul and console him. Paul Atreides, you are your father's son. You are my son. You are the Duke, Paul Atreides. You know who you are. You know who you are.
Right.
So I have a couple things about this section.
Okay. Go.
During the Gom Jabbar scene, Paul has like very clearly shown us his restraint under duress.
Yeah.
Right. In this scene, Paul is doing exactly what Gaius Hellenmoheim implied that he would do during the trial of the Gom Jabbar, because we see Paul backing himself away furiously, like as he's having this vision. He's backing himself into the wall of the tent. He's kicking sand away from him. He's trying to escape from this trap, and he is literally trapped under a pile of sand inside of a steel tent. He's like, this is
he the is moment a trap
where he's freaking out. And I think that because of what is happening to Paul, this is the one moment that Jessica has where there's a hint of regret.
Okay.
For everything that she has done to Paul in this moment.
Interesting.
Because she's watching her son unravel and completely devolve in front of her.
Okay.
She sees the pain that he's in. And yes, she knew the pain that the trial of the Gom Jabbar would have, but this is an unknown thing to her. She's watching his brain, like I said earlier, be torn apart.
I can get behind that. I mean, they don't know. This is uncharted territory for the Bene Gesserit. They don't know what's going on, or, you know,
I wouldn't say it's uncharted territory, because they know that spice has
they don't know
psychoactive effects on people. But yes. I think because of Paul's amount of selective breeding and everything,
that's
they
what don't I'm know about.
The extent that spice is like really cranking his brain up.
And how it affects men, like what this level of, you know, awakening has on a man. Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to like put air quotes around when you said consoling. Paul, because I don't find this comforting in the least.
I think it's more just like, she's giving him a physical thing to latch onto.
Yeah, like recentering him, getting him back down to reality kind of thing.
Yeah. She's definitely not like, oh, my son, I love you, my son. Like, no. She's like, no, you're your father's son. You're my son. You're the Duke. So fucking act like it.
Yeah,
console,
no, I get it.
Console was the only word that I can think of when I was writing the notes.
Sure, sure.
Because it's the closest thing that she does
yeah.
in this moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's in terms of like movie time, and that's our minute right there after, you know, that last, you know who you are is kind of right at the,
you know who you are, you know who you are.
Yeah, that last one is kind of on the cusp of the minute. So I got some book notes if you want to hear them.
Yep.
Because this is a very interesting chapter.
It's very important chapter.
Yes. So throughout the week, I've pulled like little excerpts from the book. This chapter is just chock full of like really good iconic lines from the book. So I have some passages that I want to read. Not every day, but just a couple of the days that we have this week.
Sure.
Like a paragraph or two each time, but just kind of signifying like where we're at and what Paul is going through and kind of what the transformation looks like.
Fuck it, dude. Just read the whole chapter.
I mean, let's make it an hour long episode. We could talk about it. The only thing that I'll preface this week with is the sequence of events is kind of chopped and screwed a little bit within the movie, as you would expect them to do.
Sure.
But there's a lot of the same things happen.
Well, we just had the last 2 weeks of chopped and screwed events in the movie between, you know, movie versus book. So,
yeah. And again, that goes back to, you know, being a chapter based book, and each chapter is focusing on a different person. It's a little bit out of a little bit different, like, you know, linear storytelling than a movie would be.
Sure.
So right now, what we're going through in the books is Paul is starting to gain, you know, just new levels to his consciousness. And the book goes so far as to explicitly say, like, Paul feels his brain being elevated. He feels his consciousness being, you know, rising above what he has previously known.
Whenever you can feel your brain, it's never a good thing.
Yeah.
Right. Like when you have a really bad headache and it's like, oh yeah.
So he's, I know I said this last week, so I'm going to repeat it a little bit, but he's seeing possible futures through his prescience here.
Yep.
He sees ways to escape with the guild, which he describes as an appalling option. Although it is an option. What is real interesting that we start to talk about now is that he starts seeing the past and different paths into the future. And all of this, he says, you know, it makes him feel empty is really what it makes him feel.
Imagine being the Kwisatz Haderach comes with a sense of emptiness and everything, because sure. There's no mystery in life anymore. It's just, yeah, I know exactly how the fuck everything's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like,
so the passage that I wanted to read goes like this. And I quote, "The emptiness was unbearable. Knowing how the clockwork, which is Jessica's plan in this instance, had been set in motion made no difference. He could look into his own past and see the start of it, the training, the sharpening of talents, the refining pressures of sophisticated disciplines, even exposure to the OC Bible at a critical moment, and lastly, the heavy intake of spice.
Shout out the OCB.
And he could look ahead, the most terrifying directions, to see where it all pointed." End of reading there. That's what Paul's he's going through. He's like starting to really come to terms with this. And if you remember from last minute, like he's still in Mentat mode.
Yeah.
He's just taking in all this information, trying to analyze it and trying to do something with it. He's not yet grieved his father because he's not had the mental space to do so.
It's been a little busy.
Yeah. So, you know, even the most trained Mentat is not trained to take in this amount of information.
Yeah.
You know, possible, you know, all of the future, like seeing possible futures and stuff like that is not something that a human mind can and should be able to process.
Yep.
But he's being flooded with it right now. One of the things that he sees is a path into the future that is shadowed by, and I quote, "patches of gray obscurity, except for peaks of violence."
Hell yeah, dude.
So when I put this in my book notes to equate it back to the, you know, he sees the war carrying out in his father's name and the banners and all that stuff. That,
yeah.
So those words are not explicitly mentioned in the books, but this was like a close tie-in to that part. In this vision, a few of his father's men are with him along this path. So he mentions Gurney by name in this, and he says a few others, but Gurney's the only one that gets mentioned by name. And he remarks a number of times, like, "I don't want to go down that path because that's what the old witches want." Speaking about the Bene Gesserit.
Sure.
So this chapter of the book is probably one of the best chapters that I can think of in the book. Just Paul's awakening. It's one of the most influential chapters. So I'm going to be reading a lot from it this week.
Sure. I mean, look, we're here to talk about the movie and the differences between the movie and the book. So,
And I think every day this week, I'm going to say, go read the book. If you haven't read the book, go read the book. It's so good.
Or at the very least, get an audiobook.
Yeah.
Of it.
Yeah. Listen to the book. I listen to lots of books.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Those are my book notes. I wrote out all my notes and then I had to like cut and paste them into the day sections this week.
So you didn't accidentally like cross over or whatever.
There was a lot of rearranging of the bullet points just to make sure that I wasn't like giving stuff away and, you know, things made more sense on Wednesday than they do on Friday and yada, yada.
But, correct.
Cool. So that's any other notes on your end?
Nothing for this minute. This is, I think, the peak of Paul's breakdown, but we're not entirely done just yet. So we'll be back tomorrow with the resolution of this not so good trip.
The come down, the worst part of any trip.
Yeah. As always, you can find us online. On Instagram, we are The Dune Minute. On Twitter, we are at Dune Minute, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. Otherwise, we will be back tomorrow for a Tuesday episode, and I don't have anything else, do you?
Nope. Leave a rating if you're enjoying it. Please, help.
Share the show with your friends.
Share the show with your enemies.
Here in Atlanta, it's Dragon Con this weekend.
It is Dragon Con this weekend,
and I've already seen a fair amount of Dune cosplay and stuff online.
Ah, yeah.
There's some pretty good stuff. There's some attempts. And I say that as someone who has the artistic skills of a preschooler where I can draw stick figures and dicks, and that's about it. I think the last time I touched any kind of like creative paper mache or whatever shit was in preschool. So, you know, I'm not here to, you know, throw shade at, you know, people's hard work because I know that it's way better than mine.
Yeah.
But you can definitely tell that there are people that like do cosplay professionally.
Sure.
That are just killing it with some of their stuff. So
is the parade today?
It was this morning.
Dang.
I know.
That's a fun time. My nephew's in town today. So I know he loves the Dragon Con parade.
Everyone loves a parade.
That's true. So that would have been fun to go to, but anyways, all right, so we will be back tomorrow and talk about this come down at the trip.
Yeah.
All right, cool. See you then.
See you then.